Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the World Cup Minute. My name's Josh. As I mentioned already, you're Brandon. I said it twice. I don't know why I started that way.
Why not? Yeah. Hey, Josh. I'm glad to be here. We're rounding out the first full weekend of the World Cup. And I thought yesterday with wins for France and Argentina, it was maybe a return to sort of, quote, normalcy for the results. Nope. Totally wrong. Sunday's fixtures, which we're about to run through our thoughts in terms of watching them, it was just mass chaos. And as fans of just watching the World Cup, I think this is the gift that keeps giving, because as each final round of each group sort of like starts to come together, anything could happen. Any of these teams could get through to the round of 16, which is incredible.
Canada scored that opening goal, and I was like, okay, like this is on. They're gonna win this game. And I did not have them conceding the next four goals in that match penciled in.
Yeah, their defense was just not great, Bob.
The real issue for you and me, Brandon, is we are now it's the curse of the early match. It's the second day in a row where we've assumed that the team playing the early match is going to walk that match. That was today with Costa Rica. It was Australia yesterday, and today Costa Rica defeats Japan. A really terrible result for Japan. Terrible. And it probably puts Spain and Germany through to the round of 16, because they played to a draw today, which kind of, honestly, it was more competitive than I thought it would be. I mean, a draw made so much logical sense for both sides that obviously Spain scored and then it was 0-0. And that match actually was better than it had any right to be. I thought that was really, given the kind of strategic stakes of that game, that it could have, you know, certainly could have played out as a 0-0. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess just to kick things off here with that Japan-Costa Rica game, though, I'm sort of thinking about this question of why it's been so hard for teams to score. And there's sort of two ways to think about it, I think. One is, we've seen it in the United States and just in general, there's maybe like the death of the striker, right? And the sort of rise of these sort of strikerless formations. Although maybe that's a little overstated, because Pep is considered a manager who's very happy to use a false nine, and he now has the best forward in the world. And they look...
the truest number nine you could build in a laboratory.
Exactly.
They now have a Man City in Erling Haaland. Yeah.
Exactly. And you've got Harry Kane, and there's a lot of great number nines out there, but it does seem like we are lacking in some forward talent sort of across the World Cup. The other way to look at it, I suppose, would be that your forwards are only as good as the sort of midfielders and wide men, et cetera, who get you those balls. And when we came to the Belgium match today, there was really nothing unjust about that result. That was Morocco should have won. I even thought the chalked off offside goal at the end of the half. I mean, it's a legit offside, or not. I guess it was actually more like interference, right? It was an offside player who then interfered.
Yep.
And it was, I suppose, legit, but I'm not sure he was getting to that ball anyway, even if he wasn't interfering.
Even still, like if you're Thibaut Courtois, you're considered the best goalkeeper in Europe, and he's getting beaten there, and then he's getting beaten again on the first actual goal that Morocco scores. It's like bad. Yeah. And then Belgium then plays into what you were saying about the loss of a real number nine versus the number nines can only be as good as the midfielders who are playing them the ball. Belgium, like, they are in the camp of Lukaku. Their traditional number nine is not fit. They're right. playing Batshuayi. They have considered one of the best central midfielders on the planet in Kevin De Bruyne. He looks
with Hazard as your sort of auxiliary midfielder, right? Eden Hazard has not been great the last couple of years, but certainly one of the great, you know, attacking.
That Belgium squad is like watching Cocoon, the movie. It's just a mess. It is a total mess for that side. And still, they have an opportunity to escape the group. I am wearing, by the way, my Dos Acero cap in honor of Hakim Ziyech in Morocco. So good on the boys. But we have already skipped over Japan-Costa Rica. I just wanted to say on that match, Japan, yes, have only themselves to blame. Have you seen a worse selection of finishing in your international tournament life? Like, Japan just, they controlled much of the match. They just could not finish and then totally fall asleep and deservedly probably get put out of the tournament, because now they have to get a result against Spain. And I can't see Spain taking that line down.
If Spain had won this match against Germany, if Germany had an equalized, well, first of all, that would have really changed the complexion of everything, because then Germany would be on 0 points. But because Spain is only on four, they have to go out and play to win that game as well.
Yeah.
So it puts Japan at a significant disadvantage. There's no playing the second team in that game, although certainly a draw suits Spain fairly well. So, yeah, I think they're really in trouble. I thought the Germans played much better today. They sort of maybe were a little unlucky only to score one in that match. I liked the guy who came on and scored, too. He was a fun he looked like a bartender. I don't know. I liked his, like, vibe. He looked like a dude. Like, he didn't look like he was in shape. It was great. Like, it was just some guy.
Just some guy. Full crook. He even has, like, you found him at the Mos Eisley Cantina in Star Wars. Oh, yeah, this is my friend Full Krug. He is a co-pilot in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, it was very, very good for him. I liked it. It was a really well taken goal, pretty much undefendable. And just a fun match today. I thought, I guess we'll just skip ahead to that, because we're talking about the same group there. But like I said, a minute ago, just a really entertaining match throughout it. We're seeing all these nil-nils at halftime, but from an entertainment perspective, I think it's been fine. I don't feel like I'm watching these games and I'm just heartbroken that there aren't any goals. I mean, if I'm enjoying the match, I'm enjoying the match, and it doesn't really matter if anybody scores in it. And I thought that the entire match was pretty entertaining. And then the second half, really entertaining. Lots of both teams really going for it in a way that was really satisfying. I thought the opening goal from Spain was spectacular. They really had a chance to score too late. I don't know if you remember, there was this kind of, it was like a 4-on-1 or something like that. And they sort of picked out the wrong pass. There were two players on the out right and one on the left, and the one on the left was the only one who was kind of being marked, and that was the one that got passed to, and it sort of just ended the play. But regardless, I think Spain's fine. They're kind of a fun team to watch. I've been sort of enjoying this version of Spain. It has a lot of players that I don't have as much familiarity with. It's not an especially Premier League heavy squad. I mean, of course they have Morata, but as Premier League fans, we sort of know Morata as the
you have to be a very niche Chelsea Premier forward. League fan to remember Morata's one very poor season. Was he at Chelsea for more than one season? I think that was it. Maybe he was even on loan.
One or two. Yeah, one or two.
A lot, lots of people just passing through the Premier League, like Ferran Torres as well. So, they seem to have great chemistry. For like, you're used to the 2010 Spain side, who basically all played at Barcelona, save a couple of Real Madrid guys. And these, a lot of the current Spanish national team are not teammates, but they do make it look easy. And your point about a lot of the nil-nils at halftime, it's so tough, I think, at the World Cup level, where it's not as precise as, like, if you watch a lot of club football, like if you're a huge fan of the Premier League, La Liga, if you're watching MLS, these are teams that train together every day, and a lot of the moves are going to be more precise. The tactics are more acute. And the World Cup, just by the nature of these players not getting to train together, so frequently, it's going to be sloppy on top of the fact that they're actually really good. So it's sloppy defensive or sloppy offensive tactics coming up against world-class defenders. So it's just going to make it that much harder to score. But the I agree with you, Josh, the entertainment hasn't really suffered for it.
Yeah, and I think that let's move on to just to kind of wrap up the Sunday's matches. And it's a long way of saying I agree with you. The entertainment's there, even though the goals aren't there. Well, I was listening, but I
that's sometimes fine.
When I pivot like this, it sounds like I wasn't listening to you, but I promise I was.
I'm over here doing the Russell Crowe and Gladiator. Are you not entertained? And you're giving me the thumbs down like Joaquin Phoenix. And let's just move on.
Yeah, you did a nice little speech there. Moving on. So the other match that we haven't really spoken about yet is Croatia Canada. Canada scores the opening goal, really nice Alfonso Davies goal, and then Croatia just really takes it to him the rest of the match. And Canada now, unfortunately, is eliminated from I mean they're not eliminated from the World Cup, they have a game left to play, but they're eliminated from qualifying for the round of 16, which is really too bad. I mean, they did score, I think it was their first goal ever at a World Cup, so congrats to them for doing that. But Croatia was just, they were just too good. They had too much, and it's kind of what we talked about yesterday. It's sort of played out the way we expected it to. Canada just don't quite have the horses, as they say, Brandon.
Wouldn't that be incredible? Yeah. Even if Canada has one match left to play in group stage, like as soon as that Croatia result comes through, their hotel keys are immediately deactivated. Their travel plans are moved up by a week. Really, really horrible stuff for Canada.
Yeah, exactly. You're out. Yeah, exactly. So they lose. Croatia now looks awesome, and I think that they are a clear favorite to get out of that group. Sets up a really interesting match between Belgium and Croatia now on, I guess that'll be, is that Thursday, whatever that is, late next week. Mm-hmm. And that match will be for that's kind of for it all.
All the marbles,
Brandon, all the cliches. But that really fun. You have three teams in Belgium, Morocco, and Croatia. All three are, deserved qualifiers for the round of 16. They're all good enough to make it through. And you'd have to say Morocco is very much in the driver's seat now, right? They play a Canada team that has really nothing really to play for except for pride, whereas they'll be playing to get through. And so the stakes will be a lot higher. And then Morocco, I'm impressed with that team in general. It seems like they really play well together. And it's, again, another example of you just cannot look at every, and I've said this, I feel like I've said this like 20 times on these podcasts.
Say it again, one more time, Josh.
Yeah, I'm going to say it one more time, which is that you cannot look at everything through a Premier League lens. That just club football versus international football, it's a whole different style. That even players who disappoint you at the club level are just sort of have a surge of patriotism when it's like Novak Djokovic, Brandon. He was sort of the third man in tennis, right? Between Nadal and Federer. And I say the real turning point for him was when he led Serbia to a Davis Cup title. It's like 15 years ago, and it was the sort of surge of patriotism that he felt that sort of rejuvenated his entire career. Yeah. And so for some of these guys, just playing for their country is just so, it just elevates them so much. And so you have to kind of, obviously we want to, it's interesting to sort of know about the club football part of it because you want to know about their styles and what kind of players they are. But other people like Kevin De Bruyne, it's like, he just kind of wants to get back to Man City, feels like. No offense to him. I'm sure he's patriotic, but just...
Well, yeah. He's kind of in an I'm surrounded by idiots moment in his life, particularly when he sees Martinez on the sideline managing the squad. His like sell-by date is long past. But your mention of Djokovic is like a perfect segue to tomorrow's matches, which do include Serbia. But of course, before we do that, we have to have the patented kit talk on the World Cup minute, and dark horse candidates in Group F, also dark horse candidates in kit talk today. Morocco. Yeah. I am a fan of the all white kit and this beautiful subtle gray stripe. Now we've talked about how we dislike the badge in the center of the kit, but somehow Morocco's kit today was making it work, and I give them the top spot. I will say for Spain, I don't care for the all red. I only like Spain when they've got the blue top and the red top and the blue shorts. So let's bring that back. And the final kit we'll mention are the Canadian kits. I thought it was cool how they played an all black, like they were the evil karate dojo across the street. I think we should have more all black kits. Where's New Zealand when we need them?
I'm not with you there. I feel like Canada has this beautiful red color, right? The sort of dominant, the maple leaf flag. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, sort of, I feel like you gotta lean in to that beautiful red. That should be the all red. I mean, Canada and Belgium both missing a trick, I think, with their kits. So
what if they had like a Bjork-esque kit where it was covered with actual leaves? It was sort of like an actual literal foliage of sorts.
Couldn't you emulate that in a design style? You know, couldn't they be like,
certainly we have the technology. Come on.
Yeah, we have the technology. Let's make it happen. It's interesting. It's the second time that Morocco has made the best kit section, Brandon, because their other kit, the red and green.
Okay. Yeah, Morocco coming out to a weirdly early lead in kit talk through group stage. Yeah.
I saw that Germany had that classic kit with the stripe in the middle. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that either, although I still wish someone would bring back the sash. You know, I think only like Chile still plays with the sash, like the old like bandolier-y, what is that's called?
Like bandolero? A bandolier?
Bandolier.
I'm not sure whether you've got the like string of bullets across your shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what is that called when you got I want a kit that looks like that. Yeah.
I mean, shout out to James P., our friend who actually told me what the royal chair that people carry around is called, which I've promptly forgotten. Sorry, James. But James, we're looking to you to tell us what this bullet thing is called. All right.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's look ahead to Monday's matches. Let's kick things off with Group G. We've got Brazil, Switzerland. I think that should be a really fun match. Those are the two winners so far in Group G. And then Cameroon, Serbia. This is the opening match, Brandon. I am out of the opening match prediction game. I don't know what is going to happen in this one. They're kind of roughly on the same level. I don't really know. It's hard to say.
I think it's hard. With Serbia, they kind of gave us nothing to work with in that Brazil match.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't allow Brazil to blow them out of the water, but they didn't really do much to Brazil. Yep. Brazil are very good. They're one of the favorites of the tournament, so make of that what you will. But, yeah, I don't think we've really seen the real Serbia through one match. So I agree. It's very difficult to prognosticate about what's going to happen there. What I hope is that it's just a great competitive match, and I have I have no reason to believe it won't be.
I think strategically it sets up well to be a good match because they both have to win that game. A draw probably eliminate. I mean, it doesn't like literally eliminate, but it puts them both in a very, very tough spot going into the final match. You just don't want to be in a position where you've got to beat Brazil to qualify, which is the spot that Cameroon would be in. Yeah. And I think for Serbia, I think, you know, Switzerland is a really tough match as well, right? That'll be their final match. And so I think both teams have to go out there to win. That's what you want to see. Like, that's sort of the ideal situation as a neutral. You want a match where both teams have to go and kind of go for it.
Do I remember this right? Serbia and Switzerland met in the last World Cup, and they've got some longstanding issues because of Crimea, and I think there's just like some bad blood there. So that match is going to be hype regardless, I think.
There's Crimea situations between Serbia and Switzerland. Wow, I did not. I feel like Crimea. Like how many countries is Crimea abut, Brandon? That's for our separate geography minute. Let's put that. Let's bring that into the next geography minute pod that you and I do.
Again, we need to be schooled by our listeners here, but I'm pretty sure there's some beef. Well, it's like Xhaka and Shaqiri, they emigrated to whatever. I'm out of my depth here, Josh. Great.
What I like about it though is it's good content, and people are learning. They're learning that they should go somewhere and find this information out, right? And if that's all we do is to
exactly.
Fans
raising
this
awareness.
World Cup. Yeah, exactly. We raise awareness. So that should be a fun game. I'm just going to go through the schedule here instead of going through the group. So the next match on Monday is South Korea hosting Ghana. South Korea is on 1 point. Ghana's on none. So we're kind of in a similar spot there as well, where it feels like both teams have real incentive to go for it and try to get a win. It's just very hard to qualify. I'm stating the obvious here, but it's just very hard to qualify from a group without picking up a win at some point, right? And so neither team have done that yet. Stakes are very high. I think that I would have to. Well, I don't know. I actually thought South Korea acquitted themselves pretty well in their mm-hmm. opening match. Yeah. But I think Ghana's, really talented. They played a lot together. So I don't know. We're killing it on the commentary today because we don't know how to predict these matches.
But here it is. Yeah. It's really muddy territory, just beyond geopolitical problems between Serbia and Switzerland. It's the second match in group stage, in which we kind of don't fully know the stakes, and yep. the stakes will be set based on the results of these matches. In a way, I will tell you, I'm very much looking forward to this Portugal Uruguay match, just to jump to a juicier meatball here.
Then rather than sound dumb, Brandon, why don't we just jump right to that one?
Okay,
let's talk about Portugal Uruguay for a second.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like because we cover in our regular Always Cheating podcast, the Premier League, we have talked a lot about Darwin Nunez in the last yep. few months. And we saw the bad Darwin Nunez against South Korea for Uruguay. And what I have learned about Darwin is that he will respond to the critics. He is competitive enough and he's gifted enough that if he has a bad match, in all likelihood, he'll come back and have a good match. And I think that he will start again. And but the problem that Uruguay is going to run into is this is a very well-rounded, solid, sturdy Portugal team. Even if you take Ronaldo out of the equation, they're just kind of stacked, where Uruguay feel a bit like a bunch of mercenaries thrown together. So it is can the really talented mercenaries go against a better oiled machine that is Portugal?
I mean, can we call that Uruguay team mercenaries, though? I mean, you've got Diego Godin, Luis Suarez, Edison Cavani. I mean, these guys have all played together for like a decade. So, there's at least some level of cohesiveness, though it could be kind of like a team in transition a little bit, which is what we've seen with some of the other. Uruguay are in such a strange spot, right? They're not necessarily what you would kind of consider to be a top nation. I don't know, but they kind of have to be because of their World Cup history, right? They've just done so well consistently over the history of the World Cup. Yeah. I think it should be a really fun match. I don't really know what to say about, Ronaldo wins the pen, doesn't really do much else in that match. Darwin is sort of...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, Darwin is now a much better forward. Ronaldo's not in the Premier League anymore. I was going to say that he's a better forward in their own league, but Ronaldo's no longer there. We don't know where he's going to end up, Brandon. I kind of hope it's not MLS. I feel like MLS doesn't need that. Like, let's build our own thing. You know, let's not. I don't like the retirement league stuff in general. I know it's good for bringing in some casual fans, but not really a fan of it in general. So let's see him go to, I don't know, somewhere like Qatar. You know, let's go play in the Qatar league and just we will never hear from him again.
I think that sounds ideal.
But this, in general, I love this Portugal team. I love so many of the players in it, and I'd love to see. I'd love to see more from Bruno, more from Cancelo, more from any number of players in this. I mean, it is just loaded with players that I personally really enjoy watching, and much like Man United, the team would probably look better without Ronaldo in it. And that's just not anything that they are going to be allowed to do. He's probably still going to be playing for them in 4 years, right? He's going to be like Tom Brady. He's just going to keep playing until, you know, his leg falls off or something. There's just no, don't get around it.
Portugal will be lobbying FIFA to basically stop the World Cup. Like, hey, you guys need to stop this. We have no control over our citizen Ronaldo.
It's going to be like term limits. They're going to be like, you can only play in 4 World Cups or something. How many has he played in now? He's got to be, is it 5? I think this is 5,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that match as well. I think that ultimately Portugal does win and likely qualifies, they're on 3 already. So if they win, they should be clear through to the round of 16. And then Brazil-Switzerland, just a really fun match for that's at an 11 a.m. Eastern time, Brandon. That is the ultimate grab some Chipotle and watch on your phone match right there. I'm really looking forward to a Chipotle lunch with Brazil on Monday.
Who wouldn't?
Exactly. That sounds delightful to me. So that's on at 11 a.m. Eastern time, hosting Switzerland. I think that the Swiss could give them a little bit of trouble. This team is just really, we said it before, but they're just better than the sum of their parts. And they've been this way for a few years now. And I think that they could really stay in Brazil. But, you know, let's see. I mean, it's also Brazil is just way more talented. So I think that should be a really fun game as well.
Totally. Yeah. And nothing to add, Joshua. Come on, Brazil. I want to see it. I want to see more Brazil.
All right. Well, you can tell, I don't know about you, I am kind of relieved that tomorrow is the final round 2 set of fixtures, because it's hard to talk about the stakes when you have one more game to go. You can do these kind of like half.
We're lots almost of like if thens, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're just trying to introduce what's happening tomorrow into some degree. I don't know why today, for example, I felt so compelled to offer predictions for like every single game that's being played tomorrow. But yeah, I think when on Tuesday, which is when the U.S. And Iran, the Group A and B, the third round matches happen, I think those games would be really fun for us to talk about and discuss and to watch, obviously, too, because the stakes are extremely clear in all of those matches. And I think low-key, Brandon, that Wales-England game could be really, really fun because Wales... Oh, yeah. Like, are you telling me these Welshmen are not going to be incredibly pumped up to play this game? For one thing, if they beat England, they could still qualify. So it is, you know, very much possible for them to go out there and win this match. And they're playing their, you know, it's like playing you're the little brother. I know, I'm sure they don't think, you know, I hesitate to even say that, right? But just in terms of population and sort of global
the
stature,
the risk of somebody's arm getting broken while playing basketball in the driveway, like you're playing against your brother and you really want to beat him. Yeah. A broken bone is definitely on the table. So I think so too. I agree. What do you think about this this controversy that Eric Wynalda stirred up yesterday about Gio Reyna having a bust up with Greg Berhalter, and Wynalda saying like he's on the phone with Gio's father Claudio? I mean, Eric Wynalda is like the Tucker Carlson of the U.S. Federation. Yeah, he's like the maestro of stirring the pot and just being an idiot.
Like false outrage.
It's all about him. He really just wants to be part of the conversation. But I do think it was an interesting, not counterpoint, but it's sort of like, yes, look at England. England is also having these same debates about why aren't certain players like Phil Foden getting more minutes under these managers who insist on playing a certain way. So I don't know. I think that these are debates that are actually good for the U.S. Like, I'd rather be debating and having conspiracies about why certain players are or aren't playing, as opposed to, wow, maybe we should burn our federation to the ground and rebuild it so we can actually qualify for a World Cup. Yeah. So these are big boy problems to have.
That's true. A lot has changed in 4 years. I mean, that 2018 team that didn't qualify for the World Cup, obviously we should have, and just in terms of the strength of CONCACAF and sort of our spot in that table before we kind of nosedived. But that was not a great squad. That was not a squad that looks anything like the current team. And we would not, I don't think, have done any kind of damage in that 2018 World Cup had we qualified. Whereas, like, the performance that we put in against England in round two, I don't think that any version of that 2018 could have just done that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it'll really be an exciting match, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But for now, that's your World Cup Minute. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you soon.